Who's got it better than us?
Nobody! Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Ooka shaka, ooka, ooka, ooka shaka, ooka, ooka, ooka shaka, ooka, ooka, ooka shaka, ooka, ooka, ooka shaka.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, live from JCW's here in Harriman. Come watch the tournament with us. We want to remind you to nominate the sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. Got a bunch of people starting to file in, Ben, starting to watch games, grab grub as the lunch hour draws near. We'd encourage you to come on out and see us here at JCW's in Harriman. I just got my burger, Ben. It'd be nice if you talked this whole segment.
That'd did you go with the classic?
You know what? I decided to go with the pastrami today.
How is it?
How do you think it is?
Unreal. It looks
good. It's so good. And I went with the onion rings today, which was, I think, a good decision.
I might have to steal an onion ring from you. I'll trade you some fries for some onion rings.
Help yourself. Yeah.
I ordered the fish and chips. They're coming out soon. I can't wait.
I know you're excited.
Very.
But the food's great. If you've never been to JCW's, trust me, the food's fantastic. If you have, well, then you already know.
It was really funny to see Hans walk in yesterday and the entire restaurant turn its attention to Hans Olsen standing in the back corner. Now, he is uniquely tall and uniquely large, so he stands out. But the fact that we were in American Fork in Utah County where he is royalty, it was pretty interesting to see that. That place was packed.
How much food did Hans end up putting down yesterday? A double pastrami burger? Oh, that's modest for our guy Hans. Way to go, Hans. Way to show
a
little
restraint.
One
and a half hot dogs.
Way to go, Christian. All right, Ben, let's talk some NCAA tournament, and we'll talk some BYU here in a second, and then we're going to talk to Scotty G at 11:30 about the Aggies and their matchup against TCU, so stay tuned for that. But we've been following this story, Ben, and I can't believe the latest to this Dan Monson story, the coach at Long Beach State.
Okay.
All right. So if you haven't been following, Long Beach State fired Dan after the regular season.
Right. Been there for 17 years, right?
Yep. Was at Gonzaga before that. He was the first kind of run there at Gonzaga in the late 90s. He was the coach. He left to take Coach Lacombe told me, the Minnesota job. And then it didn't work out, and he ended up in Long Beach State for 17 years. So he's fired after the regular season. The AD, whose name is Bobby Smitherin.
Okay.
Old Bobby.
Okay, Bobby.
Old Bobby Smitherin. He fired Dan and then told him, like, okay, go ahead and coach in the conference tournament or whatever. I don't want to be bothered with an interim coach or whatever. Just go ahead and do it. 17 years. Thanks for the service. Which, first of all, makes no sense to me. Just wait another week
just
and fire
wait a week.
Him there.
Yeah, who cares? Like,
makes zero sense. But old Bobby decided, nope, going to fire Dan. Then Dan goes out and wins the Big West tournament just to stick it in Bobby's ear. And then they lost yesterday, right? They were I can get their final score up. But anyway, Long Beach State, they're out of it. And they were a great story. They lost Arizona, that's right, 85-65. But before the game, a reporter, ESPN, I believe, caught up with old Bobby Smitherin to ask him about firing the coach and then really looking bad, right, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, of course. It's been the conversation until old Golkey took over at Oakland yesterday. That was the talk of the tournament.
So here's Bobby's quote, and I could see Ben doing this for sure. Bobby says, quote, "My belief and hope is that by doing what I did and the timing of it, they would play inspired, and that's what they did. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it worked," unquote.
Monty Burns, I told him to do that.
I told him to do that. You know, really, I'm thinking I'm playing three-dimensional chess while you guys are playing checkers. I thought it would galvanize the team, and it did. So, you're welcome.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
Unbelievably stupid, maybe the dumbest quote, and so lacks so much tact, right? Like, just be like, hey, man, we're along for the ride, too. We love this coach. We love everything he's done for our program. We couldn't think of a better way to go out. This is awesome. He deserves this. Not, I deserve this. I created this. Some athletic directors, I swear, this is as bad as it gets. This is unbelievable.
Can I give you my speculation about why all this happened the way that it did? Is that Long Beach State's athletic department is probably so terribly run, they have a huge budget crunch, and keeping the head basketball coach on for an extra week is actually a problem. So he wanted to save the salary and save the benefits because his budget is all out of whack. But anyway, Ben, you're right. The correct answer, because he's probably embarrassed because he looks bad on a national level. Everybody, you know, his phone's probably blowing up with people calling him an idiot. Way to go, buffoon. You look really terrible. And instead of doing what you said and just say, oh, we're so happy for Coach. He's done a great job here for a long time. This is the swan song that he deserves. And you can even add, we're still confident in our decision and the direction of the program. We felt there was a need for the change, and these wins do really nothing to affect that other than we're happy for Coach and his success, and specifically these group of players who are such great students. It's pretty easy.
It writes itself. We're in awe of the storybook ending to his wonderful career here. Not, I did this. Look at how good I am.
You're welcome.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that the – did you ever do group – projects in college? I'm sure you did, like mm-hmm. group papers or whatever. And there was always the one person who did all the work, a couple people that kind of participated, and then the person that that just sat there.
Yeah.
And usually I was the guy who just sat there.
There was one group project where I was the sat there guy, because I generally tried to not be that guy, but it was in my science class. We were doing a thing on Aurora Borealis, and we had, like, kind of assigned things, and I had a thing to do, and then I was going to put the whole project together. And, like, the other people did their job so well that I didn't have to do much other than just, like, copy and paste it into one five-page worksheet. I didn't really have to write anything, and they all gave me really bad grades.
See, I think there actually is some value to just sit there, because there's too many cooks in the kitchen on those projects and too many conflicting opinions and all that sort of stuff. And sometimes the just sit there guy is really good, because you can just kind of sit there and not cause any problems. But you know what you don't get to do as just sit there guy?
And then take credit.
Is you don't get to stand in front of the group and take credit. Now, you can stand in the back and take your C+ or whatever and move on. But you can't go up to the professor and be like, I nailed this project. The rest of these folks, they really were just dead weight.
NBA player needs to take 10 shots a game, 15 you know shots what I mean? A game. Be like, the 2 shots a game guy. But then don't be like, I carried this roster.
But you're the AD, all right? You were not worth that. This is happening in spite of you, not because of you. You don't get to stand up and take credit. You have to sit in the back and be the just stand there guy.
You, Strawberry, hit a home run.
Okay, Skip.
I told him to do that.
I'm so happy you just pulled that. It is one of the great clips, and it's so applicable to coaching in so many ways. You, Strawberry, go hit a home run. I mean, you want to know how Coach Cal won his only NCAA tournament title? Because he could say, you, Davis, go dunk that basketball.
Go and block 15 shots.
That's how he's made a career. He came onto the scene at UMass, right? You, who was his big guy? Marcus Camby. You, Camby, go block that shot.
Derrick Rose.
I told him to do that. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's his whole career.
Yep, it is.
Now, also, it's basically all Phil Jackson's whole career, too. Like, there are a lot of coaches that have made a lot of money based on taking credit for things that good players do. And not to say that coaches are worthless, because that's not true either, but coaches like John Calipari might as well be worthless.
Absolutely.
Because they're not coaching anything.
And there's the thing. There's a huge thing about, you know, not every coaching has to be I draw up the best plays. We think about that, and we can look at, like, after timeout
plays
and stuff like that.
But that's not 100% of the job.
It's recruiting, and then you know what? Beyond the recruiting, is it's buy-in. It's getting those kids that actually, once you get them on campus, to listen to what you're saying and what the team is doing as a group, even if it's not running the most intricate offense of all time or playing the most intricate defense. It's about guys buying in, and the guys don't even seem bought in at Kentucky anymore. Because what did Coach Cal keep saying? We're built for March. We're built for March. We're built for March. What does that mean? It means we weren't good during the regular season.
Stunk in January.
But we think it'll randomly fix itself in March. And then when it doesn't, you have to think, we weren't built for anything.
Oh.
We were a team. We are there is a roster of players, but no one was bought into doing anything together.
Is it possible, Ben, and this is kind of a right turn, I apologize, but now you've got me thinking, is it possible that Bill Belichick was the ultimate Strawberry go hit a home run coach of all time?
There is always a question of that when you have
Brady,
great players.
Go win that football game.
Hey, you know what? We are a little bit there with Quinn Snyder. And I think Quinn's a good coach. I do. I think he had immense buy-in. I do think the players really bought into what he was saying, and maybe that was his best strength. But, like, you know what? Donovan Mitchell's a really good player. Rudy Gobert is a really good player, and it doesn't matter that they're playing for J.B. Bickerstaff, who, by the way, is a pretty questionable head coach, and Chris Finch, who's a pretty good head coach, but we'll have to see if he can do anything when they actually get to the playoffs. And they're still very good. It's like, yeah, they're still great. And Quinn is out there telling DeJounte Murray, go do this. And they're not doing it that well. You know, they're just not that good of a team. In fact, they probably underachieved with this roster this year, understanding that Trae Young is unhealthy. So that's always the flaw with coaching when you have great talent. The coach gets a lot of credit when job's not that hard.
You know what's funny is smart coaches are looking for that, though. Why do you think James Harden got all the – so this is always my example because it's so funny. Mike D'Antoni made his whole reputation on up-tempo, move the ball. That was his whole thing. Steve Nash, they ran – they had more possessions when that wasn't necessarily a popular thing. That was his style. He brought it from Europe. He not only did it with Phoenix, but he did it with other teams too, or at least tried to. Mm-hmm. Then he gets to Houston. And he's got Jimmy Harden. And Jimmy doesn't want to play fast.
Right.
Jimmy doesn't want to move the ball.
Jimmy
doesn't want to do any of that.
Again, we're talking about James Harden. We're abbreviating to Jimmy.
So what happens to Mike D'Antoni and his system?
Out the window.
We're not going to do that anymore. Yeah. Yeah, I know I've been doing that my whole career, but no longer because Jimmy doesn't want to run. So we're not going to do that, and we're going to do something else. You know what we're going to do? We're going to give Jimmy the ball the whole game. Why are you going to do that, Coach? Because it's really easy to say, you, Jimmy, go make that shot.
Yep. Hit that step back three.
I mean, people want to say that Houston team was one injury or one game or whatever away from beating Golden State and winning the NBA title, blah, blah, blah. They weren't that close because of the coach. I'll tell you that.
Sure.
He wasn't doing anything.
No, absolutely right.
I think it led to the downfall of that Rockets team, me personally. But he didn't do anything. He said, James Harden, go, Jimmy, go shoot.
And maybe the best thing coaches can do is find a way to mask the team's weaknesses. You know what I mean? You just get out of the way of your strength, and you find a way to mask your weaknesses. And a lot of the coaches never find a way to mask those weaknesses.
I think there are a few things that coaches really can have an impact on, and this can come back to our BYU discussion. You have to have your team ready to go. That is a coach's responsibility. You know, because the best player, you know, John Stockton didn't need any help being ready to go, probably on those Jazz teams. Karl Malone probably didn't need any help being ready to go. But you know what? Shandon Anderson and Brian Russell and all these other players, they needed to be ready to go, meaning they needed to know their role. They needed a game plan. They needed to know what they were going to do defensively. They needed to be in the right place emotionally. They needed to be rested and fed and all these other things that I do think a head coach can have a real impact on. It's easier to have a good game, Ben, you know this, when you're comfortable with the game plan. And that doesn't mean anything to John and Carl, but that means a lot to Antoine Carr.
Yep.
At that particular time. So that is one place.
And to our point, Jerry was not an X's and O's guy. It was not what he did.
No, it's not.
He was not an X's and O's guy.
He ran the same stuff all the time.
Yep. They had offense from Phil Johnson. They had defense from Gordy Chiesa. And they had Jerry getting everyone to buy in.
Simple formula.
It worked. Yep.
Very, very simple formula. Then I think game management stuff coaches absolutely can be good at, and that matters. What are your rotations? What players are you putting together? When are you making the subs? When are you calling timeouts? What do you do with other teams' runs? You know, those things I think all matter. But I think you're right. I think most of the best coaches, when it comes to their players, sometimes just get out of the way. Like, put them in a good spot, get them in a good set, and let your good players go to work. So it's such a subtle thing. But it's the reason that I think bad X's and O's coaches or bad management coaches or whatever, like John Calipari, can be considered a legend, because you can throw all that out the window because recruiting can erase all of it.
Yeah, it does. That masks everything.
That can mask everything. Stu Morrow might have been the best coach in college basketball. And I'm just picking Stu because he decided to stay at a small school. And you'd never know it because he was comfortable living in Logan.
Right. Rick was truly a great coach. A great X's and O's guy, knew how to pull out strategies, et cetera, et cetera. Rick Majerus was. It also helped when he got his most talent and kind of let Keith Van Horn be Keith Van Horn, let Andre Miller run the show.
Yeah, but, man, he was so structured, even with those guys. But Rick, hey, he was an outside-the-box thinker. He thought, if this team hates me with the fire and passion of a thousand suns,
we'll galvanize them.
They will play really hard just to stick it in my face.
It kind of sounds like the Long Beach State Athletic
and
Director.
You know what they don't know is that I'll take credit for all of it.
I'm going to take credit at the end. I told him to do that.
Oh, it's so true. It is so true. I'm not trying to diminish, you know, the career of coaching, but, man, we had a I think I've told you this story, Ben, but when I was playing Skyline Tennis and I was a freshman and sophomore, our top three players were the best players in the Intermountain region, not even the best players in the state. Like, they were absolutely incredible. We won state. I don't even think we lost a match. Like, I mean, we just dominated, and our coach that year won Coach of the Year, and he gave the best quote to the newspaper. I wish I could remember exactly what it was, but he was like, you know, I don't really deserve this award. Some years where you get the recognition, you do the least amount of work. Yep. That's what he said. He was like, "What? I've got the best three players in the Intermountain region. They didn't lose a set all year. I just rolled them out. I didn't do anything."
Hey, this happened locally in sports radio. We've talked about this a little bit before, but like – And look, credit, there are really talented people here. And, you know, David Locke's extremely talented, and Ian Furness is extremely talented, and there were a lot of people. But 1997, 1998, when we're really tracking ratings hard in sports radio, everyone starts looking at Utah and saying, like,
whoa, what's going on?
What's going on in Utah? They must have some geniuses working in that market. All of a sudden, their ratings are through the roof on all these sports radio stations when it was still kind of in its infancy. We got to go raid that market of its talent. Well, what also happened in 1997, 1998? The Utes went to the Final Four and the Jazz went to back-to-back finals. Of course everyone wanted to listen to sports radio. And look, those guys have gone on to have great careers. But, that was a very much, I told them to do that.
I told them to do that. You, Van Horn, go make a bucket.
Hit a buzzer beater.
I told him to do that. All right, stay tuned. We'll have more Jake and Ben coming up next. Scotty G is going to join us from Indianapolis. We're live here at JCW's in Harriman. Come see us. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
And eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3,
on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, live from JCW's here in Harriman. Come see us, watch the games, get some food.
Man, get some food. Holy cow.
Ben's diving into the fish and chips. We've got college, obviously NCAA tournament basketball going on right now, Ben. Northwestern leads Florida Atlantic 28-27.
4-6.
Listen, the loser of this game should be required to quit basketball.
You don't get to play anymore.
Baylor leads Colgate 54-34.
Strong showing from Baylor.
About to tip off, UAB is taking on San Diego State.
You know what I can say about JCWs? You ever, like, sit at work and you're, like, craving food? Like, you have an idea of, like, oh, you know what hits me? You know what I'd really like to try? Whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is. God, like a burger or a, you know.
A sandwich. A
pastrami
salad.
Burger. Fish and chips. Chicken strips. Whatever it is. When you go to JCW's, A, not only do they have it, B, it tastes exactly like what your craving wanted it to taste like. You're like, man, I could go for some good fries or an ice cold soda right now or whatever it is you're looking for. And it's going to taste exactly like you want it to.
It's really good.
It's so good.
Utah State takes on TCU tonight in a 9-8 matchup. The game is going to tip off around 7:55, could be a little later depending on scheduling. Joining us now, the voice of the Utah State Aggies. Of course, you hear him on the station every day from noon to 3 as well. The one and only Scott Girard. What's up, Scotty G?
You know, there's nothing better than getting a burger at JCW's, getting cheese fries. There was an establishment that had a world-famous dipping sauce. This is the dipping sauce at JCW's is better, in my opinion. And just drenching those fries in that stuff, getting a shake that's as big as somebody's head. I mean, come on, let's go. Let's do this, right?
Can I ask you, though, did you do the steakhouse that all the NBA players go into in Indiana last night? I know you are not afraid to try a nice meal on the road. Did you go to the steakhouse?
You're referring to St. Elmo's. And, Ben, I am ashamed to admit that, yes, not only did I go last night, but I also went on Wednesday night, too.
Oh, good for you. Tell me about it, because, like, there's, like, three or four restaurants in the NBA where, like, everybody goes when they're in town. That's the one I think talked about the most.
Valter's is on that list, too, I think.
It absolutely is. And there's another one in Atlanta that we can't talk about.
Yeah, yeah. but St. Elmo's is I'd been there before about, it's probably been about 10 or 11 years ago. And I was like, oh, that's a really, you know, it was good. And then I got invited with a group on Wednesday night, I made a reservation for last night and then got a cool little invite to go on Wednesday night. So I'm like, well, geez, I'll knock it out. The bone-in ribeye is single-handedly the best steak I've ever had in my life. Huh. And I don't like being the guy that says, "Oh, this is the best ever," blah blah blah. But it is. It just is. It's absolutely incredible. But to top it off, it's not just the steak. They have a shrimp cocktail that will blow your sinuses into the next zip code. Like they put shaved horseradish in it. It's not the most appealing looking thing when you get into it. But that horseradish sauce will just destroy you in one of the most perfect ways possible. It is incredible.
Scotty, what did Utah State do to the selection committee to deserve such a tough matchup in the first round for a Utah State team that won the dang league? I know we've been complaining about this all week, but I just can't get over it. Win the Mountain West, a good league, win it outright. And you get TCU in the first round for your reward. It's brutal.
Well, I did the mock selection committee about a decade ago. In fact, that's when I last went to St. Elmo's, and I remember the committee chair at the time was telling all of us media honks out there, and he said, "Hey, we want all of you to know as we bring you into this process, we do not take past performances into consideration. We do not take tradition into consideration when we're seeding these teams." And we all laughed at him then, and you laugh at him now, because the Mountain West traditionally does not do well in the NCAA tournament. There have been multiple bids many times, obviously never six. And so what the committee not only told Utah State but told the rest of the Mountain West Conference outside of San Diego State, San Diego State has the same seed in the NCAA tournament as they had in the Mountain West Conference tournament, a 5 seed. And yet here they are, again, in the NCAA as a 5 seed, which shows you that the committee was like, okay, you know what? Everybody not named San Diego State, we're going to let you in. You get your cake, but you don't get to eat it. So we'll give you your 6 teams that you've been barking about, but we're going to give you a horrible seeds across the board, which Colorado State should not have been an at-large, or should not have been a play-in team. Boise State should not have been a play-in team. Nevada should have been a little bit higher. Like, those are seeds that should not have been where they were, but yet, because of past performance, which it hasn't been great, and as of right now, isn't great again with Boise losing and Nevada having a complete meltdown and Colorado State looking dreadful for the most part against Texas. I understand it. I get it. But doesn't mean you have to like it. And Utah State has not won an NCAA tournament game since 2001. They've lost 10 straight opening round games that they'll try to snap tonight. So, again, I understand it. I don't like it. I think Utah State should have deserved a higher seed. I think their body of work deserved at least a 6 or a 7 seed. But they'll take the 8 and they'll go with it. I wish that they were playing Northwestern in that 8-9 game instead of what they have tonight in TCU watching this Northwestern game. But here we are.
What because there's the 10 or the 0-10 streak now for Utah State, but because it's spread over a few coaches and it's kind of become a hotbed for coaches to come in and find great new jobs after that, what type of pressure is there for Utah State to win this game? Does it feel like you have to get a win here if you're Utah State as a program?
A little bit. I think if I were to ask Danny Sprinkle that, he would say no. But I do think that there's pressure on the program to try to find a way to get a win, especially when you're wearing your home whites, meaning you're a top 8 seed. Like, you know, those are games you need to win. When you come in as an 11 or a 12, and most of those games that Utah State played in this 10-game losing streak, they were an 11, a 12, a 13. There were a couple of 15s in there that you're just not going to win those games more often than not. It's just not going to happen. But when you're an 8 seed, you got to play better. And Utah State was an 8 seed in Sam Merrill's junior year, and they got ran off the court by Washington and Matisse Thybulle. And that can't happen tonight. Utah State's got to be better. They've got to be, they've got to hang in there with that TCU team. And they just, you know, the last 3 games they played, they've lost those games going away in the tournament. And tonight is a night that Utah State, I'm not saying they need to win this game, but they need to have a good showing. They need to play well. I think they will. They're a confident bunch. Being around them the last couple days, it seems like they're fairly confident in what they can do and how they can handle this game tonight. But they need a good showing tonight, not just for themselves, but to show the rest of the country that Utah State can hang with anybody.
You mentioned that Utah State hasn't won since 2001, and not necessarily to go down this road, but I see all this stuff. It's the 4-year anniversary of the pandemic and the reaction to it. And, of course, that happened right around conference tournament time and canceled the NCAA tournament. And it's really too bad, it's particularly for Utah State, because they just won the Mountain West Conference tournament. But they had 2 NBA guys in Nimi Keita and Sam Merrill, and they were going to have a chance to make some waves in the NCAA tournament. So let me ask you, Scotty, someone who saw all those games that year, does that team win at least one game if that tournament was played?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously it depends on the matchup, but I have little doubt in my mind that team, the way they were playing at that time, had every capability of being a Sweet 16 team, 1,000%. And I'll throw BYU in the mix. BYU was playing great basketball as well going into that thing. I think both those teams had a chance to be Sweet 16. That's one of the bigger what-ifs in Utah sports history in terms of if that pandemic doesn't hit, what that NCAA tournament would have looked like for in-state, you know, for Utah State and BYU. It's just a crying shame. And the old adage is, to make a run in the NBA or in the NCAA tournament, for the most part, you need 2 NBA guys. And Utah State had that in Nimi and Sam Merrill. And a fringe guy who spent a good amount of time in the G League, and Justin Bean, who was starting to figure things out as a college basketball player, too. So, I mean, you had a lot of, you know, you had a ton of talent on that team. Namish Keita had that knee injury. He was finally healthy and playing how we expected him to play. Sam was playing out of his mind. And, yeah, I mean, it's just a crying shame that team didn't have a chance to go into the tournament.
Scotty, we appreciate you. We will be listening tonight. What time would you guess tip-off will actually be? I know it's scheduled for 7:55, but it'll probably be, 8:15?
Yeah, but the game before it is the Purdue 16-1 game. So I would assume Purdue will probably mop the floor with whatever group
that'll
of shoe clerks
are
playing as the 16 seed. So so I got to imagine that they'll – by the way, I stole that line from you. I've used that line for so many years.
I know. I love
you.
It still. It's so good.
But no offense to any shoe clerks out there. But, yeah, I think Utah – I think it'll be 7:55, maybe a little bit later, but for the most part, we should be able to start on time. We'll have a little bit of an earlier start time on the pregame. We'll start about 7:15. I got interviews with Andy Hill, the assistant coach, obviously Danny Sprinkle, some of the players as well. So we'll have it all ready for you from top to bottom, man. We're going to blow it up and have a good time tonight and hopefully do it again on Sunday.
Thank you, Scotty G. You're the best.
Have a good call, Scotty. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Have a vanilla-based caramel shake with cookie dough in it for me.
Ooh,
that sounds like
fantastic. Hans likes the chocolate base. I'm more of a vanilla base kind of guy, but Hans goes chocolate. I prefer the vanilla ice cream for my shake base.
Yeah, well, what does Hans know? I agree with you, Scotty. Team Vanilla.
Hans knows a lot, actually, when it comes to that place.
when it comes to food and shakes.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Scotty. You're the best.
You got it.
The great Scotty G, voice of the Utah State Aggies, and, of course, here from noon to 3, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Live at JCW's, we'll update you on all the scores going on in the NCAA tournament and get you ready for Hans and Scotty G.
We'll update you on how good this food is.
Coming up next, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
You have sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob in 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. This one of the 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows. Peach Doors and Windows is Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. Ben, want to also remind the good folks about Win Ticket Wednesday. Is that what we're doing here, Sarah? Nickelback, that's right.
Win tickets to see Nickelback.
Yeah, right. Get an in-depth look at the ups and downs of Nickelback's roller coaster career when Hate to Love Nickelback comes to the big screen for 2 days, March 27th and 30th. Book tickets now at nickelbackfilm.com or visit kslsports.com to enter to win tickets to a screening near you. Apologies to Sarah, but you could see where I got confused there. I was thinking band tickets.
I mean, I did say Nickelback twice.
Several times, yeah, but that didn't sink in.
Doesn't resonate, sir.
You're going into a food coma. It's okay, I get it.
He is.
It was quite good. All right, Northwestern up on Florida Atlantic, 50-43. The scoring has come at a quicker pace here in the second half.
They're figuring it out.
Baylor is smoking Colgate, 57-40, 17.
No, you brush your teeth with Colgate. You don't smoke Colgate, Jake.
Oh, good one, Ben. Well done. And then San Diego State leads UAB 11-9. That game obviously just underway. Coming up at noon, 15 seed Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers, will take on 2 seed Marquette. Is there one game today that particularly looking for? I think most people would say Grand Canyon St. Mary's.
Everybody That's kind of the big one.
A good one. Nebraska, Texas A&M is interesting because the AD at Nebraska just left to take the AD job at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
So that's kind of funny.
Colorado,
Florida should be good.
Clemson, New Mexico. A lot of people have New Mexico as the upset there, including myself.
Oh, I'd love to see the Mountain West win, but I just don't know. What do you think about that question that I asked Michelle about, that every unit that the Pac-12 gets in this tournament goes right to Washington State and Oregon State?
Good for them, man. You got to find some way to survive, and they're going to need money, and this is a good way to get it. They're not going to make up the money they lose by not being in a power conference. They're just not. I don't see how that would happen in the future. Even if they're able to reform the Pac-10 in some sense with Mountain West Conference schools, they're already – it was already – it seemed like the low end of the P5 conferences, even when you had Washington and USC and UCLA and Oregon. They're not going to be able to rebuild that by bringing in San Diego State and Utah State and Colorado State and whoever, the Boise State. They're never going to get back to that money. So every penny they can get now is going to be important.
Yeah, but they're going to have like hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank. So you say maybe they won't be able to make up the money they would have gotten elsewhere. But if you look at what Big 12 is making from per school, from TV deals, mm-hmm. that's going to be true. That statement you just said is going to be true in like 15 years.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of dough.
It is.
That's
no,
what I'm saying.
No, absolutely. I mean, no, get your money while you can because it's not going to be there on a yearly basis. You're going to need to have it in the bank to live off of.
But would you bet Utah's even in the Big 12 in 15 years?
No. In fact, I suspect they won't be. In fact, it's more likely they're in the Pac-12 in 15 years than it is the Big 12. You know what I mean? Like we somehow realize that geography matters in college athletics, and we put back together the idea that if you're in the West, you should be in a conference that's based in the West.
Stanford and Cal are in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Stanford and Cal.
Yeah, they play in the East Coast time zone.
They're quite literally on the Pacific Ocean. Not the Atlantic Coast at all.
It says Atlantic in the title of the school.
Atlantic
or in
Coast
the title of the conference.
I mean, even Pac-12, that was Pacific 12. That wasn't Pacific Coast.
No.
Atlantic Coast Conference. Whatever. Hans is here. Hey, buddy. You look good. Hans is ready. Look, he looks hungry. Literally and figuratively. Hungry for some great sports talk radio and maybe some cheese fries.
You know what? I'm excited to watch Nebraska.
Said nobody ever. Why
today.
Nebraska?
They've got the kid that everyone's calling the Japanese Steph Curry.
Oh, okay.
He's has a chance to be, like Golki, has a chance to be one of these kids that takes over the tournament.
Fun week this week, Ben. Thanks to everybody who came out and supported us for watching these games. The station is going to be at JCW's here in Harriman all day. So if you didn't have a chance to come out during our show, come out for Hans and Scotty or JJ.
Sarah's coming down.
Sarah's going to come down and
Sarah.
Grab some food. Oh, yeah. Come meet Sarah for sure. Big celebrity. Sarah, are you excited to get some JCW?
Yes, you guys have been talking about it for the past 2 days, and I can't wait. I will be coming a little later. I'll probably be there around JJ and Alex time. But
she right. did not let you finish the sentence before she told you she was excited to get JCW.
Awesome. Well, we will talk to you on Monday.
Thanks, Sean.
Jacob
Thanks, Sarah.
Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.